The gospel reading for today is found in the 8th chapter of Mark, and it begins with the 31st verse. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man." Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes to his Father's glory with the holy angels." This is the word of our Lord and Savior. Thanks be to Christ. May the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts, be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength, our Redeemer. I entitled this particular message this morning, "As If." I don't want you to think this is from the Middle East. That's a first name in the Muslim words. "As If," it's one word and it's a first name. But in this case, it's "As If," not one word. That's what gave me some pause before I named it. But it's what fit with what I wanted to say. You know, it's difficult for us to think of the cost of discipleship, especially our own personal discipleship. We often look at it as having very little cost. A little time, just a little of our money, and that's about it. Not a great cost. And it's hard to face the fact that Jesus lost his life and calls us to lose our lives as well. That he took up a cross. And that he asked us to do the same thing. Now, this old saying that says, "My husband drives me crazy, that must be my cross." That is not what Jesus is talking about when he says, "Take up your cross." It's often also just to face the future, not knowing what will happen. It's difficult to think like Abraham and Sarah did, that they would end up childless. They thought that your life and their life would end without hope. It's hard to believe when all around you is dark. When all you have is a promise. Such a situation either puts us into despair, giving up, often to an endless life of worry, an endless life of worrying why. Or it calls us to faith, to acting as if. The author Ron Lee Dunn tells the story of two altar boys. One was born in 1892 in Eastern Europe. The other was born just 3 years later in a small town in Illinois. Though they lived very separate lives in very different parts of the world, these two altar boys had almost an identical experience. Each boy was given the opportunity to assist the priest during the service of Holy Communion. And ironically, while handling the communion cup, they both accidentally spilled some of the wine on the carpet at the altar. There, the similarity in the two stories ends. The priest in the Eastern European church, seeing the purple stain, slapped the altar boy, said, "You clumsy oaf, leave the altar." The little boy grew up to become an atheist and a communist. His name was Joseph Tito. He was the dictator of Yugoslavia for 37 years. The priest in the church in Illinois, upon seeing the stain near the altar, knelt down beside the boy, looked at him tenderly in the eyes, and said, "It's all right, son. You'll do better next time. You'll be a fine priest of God someday." And that little boy grew up to become the much beloved Bishop Fulton J. Sheen. The story illustrates the importance of acting as if at a very practical level. One priest acted as if the child was deliberately sinful and unteachable. The other, as if the child could grow and change and learn, as it is with our behavior towards children. So it is with every area of our lives. And especially so it is with the challenges we face, the crosses we are called to carry, the work we are asked to do for the Lord, the life we are called to lose. When we consider the future, when we consider the choices we must make, and the price we may have to pay, we owe it to ourselves and to those around us and to God Himself to act as if. We're called to act as if Jesus is Lord, as if death has been conquered, as if faithfulness makes a difference, as if God will do what He promised. It is clear, however, that many people have a sense of hopelessness despite their belief in God. And this sense of hopelessness communicates itself, dragging down all that are around them. What is clear, too, is that those who have faith and not simply belief end up with a better life than the one that they gave up. And that those who act as if God can be trusted and His word relied upon end up bringing light and hope to the world and certainly to all those that are around them. Perhaps the best example of acting as if and an acting as if type of faith, and I decided I could bring this particular movie as an example to this particular group. Probably Hannah's exception, Hannah and Stuffy, they probably won't know this. I am talking about a movie made a few years back, you might say several years back now, and it was called Field of Dreams. A lot of people remember it. And the line that I want you to recall and embrace even from that movie is, "Build it and they will come." If you haven't seen the movie, it's still around. You need to get it and watch it. But I want to say this again. Build it and your dream will come true. the promises will be fulfilled. Build your life as if the only thing that mattered was God's promises, and they will come to pass. Build your attitude each day as if God is your hope and your joy, and you will have peace. Build your actions each day as if mercy and forgiveness conquers sin and death, and you and the people around you will become whole. All of us are called by God to build our lives on a dream and on a promise. We are called to face all that life may throw at us, to all that do all that God may ask us, no matter what the cost, in the hope and simple belief that God will make us more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord. The biblical scholar Ernst Caseman, German, well-known writer in theological circles, writes, "One single beam of light in our existence seems to me more important than the full sun of any orthodoxy. For what is decisive for all time is not how much we have believed, but that we have believed and followed Him. However little we have understood about Him." I love the statement. He's a Lutheran priest. Because sometimes the more we study the life of Christ, the less we understand about the true Christ. That's just the way it is. We continue to study them. Abraham is the father of faith because he believed and waited patiently, all the while acting as if God would do as he said. He left home and country and wandered in a foreign land as commanded by God. He faced old age and slow decline of the body. And he did occasionally jump the gun and try to do what it would take to make God's promise come true on his own. And he had moments of doubt. Overall, he had confidence that God would fulfill his word, even when God called him to sacrifice the child of promise, Isaac. For this, Abraham is called the father of faith. And Jesus is our model of faith. Jesus is the model of faith because we believe, or he believed, and went along doing great good, even though he knew the cross was ahead of him. Jesus endured persecution, scorn, and hatred because he was convinced that God was with him, that the kingdom of God was near at hand, and that God was able to do all things. And because he acted as if all of these things were true. That God would make all the things around whole. Abraham and Jesus believed as if, they acted as if, God was and is and will always be. And so they were able to endure the trials set before them. And so they found the glory promised to them. The wonderful thing is, even when we don't believe, if we act as if we do believe, what God has promised comes to pass and our belief grows. I remember the statement of John Wesley to some of his students. They would all go to London near Wesley Chapel and for a time of training. And he says, if you feel your call but have little faith, preach faith until you have it. And then preach it because you do have it. Knowing that faith is a gift from God, we can't build it on our own. We believe in God and we petition through Jesus Christ for greater faith. It is given to us. If we don't believe and we have that small amount of faith that it takes to carry on, we do what is called stepping out in faith. It's called standing on the promises. And it makes hope come alive. It turns the darkness of doubt into the brilliant light of faith. I want to say that if we reflect, it's difficult. It's even difficult for me to put myself in the place of Christians who live and worship in the Middle East. Those people have taken up a cross. Agents of Satan have certainly killed them. Some in very barbaric ways. But they remain faithful as if God was by their side, as if Jesus was their Savior, and as if His promise to eternal life were true. None of us know what we will be called on to do, or future generations. Certainly parts of the Bible do predict a world government. And if that happens, God only knows what the Christians will be required to suffer. Who would reign on our parade of hope? We've held to it, I know I have, for all my life. It's been a quiet time until now. Who has the faith to act as if all things are possible to those whom God calls? Consider the example of someone who reigned on the parade of others. I love this. At the turn of the century, a Methodist bishop by the name of Wright declared that humans would never fly. Now, this is 1900 when I say turn of the century, not 2000. You want to guess who the names of his two sons were? Yep, Wilbur and Orville. Do you have a challenging problem in your life? Maybe all of us do to one extent or another. Sometimes we have to consider facing a situation we think is unfaceable. But we start off by acting as if the problem can be overcome, as if the unfaceable is faceable, and continue by thinking, God is with me, and God has promised that I will overcome when I walk in the path of Christ. We go forward in trust despite our doubts, despite our fears, despite the easy way out that some others can afford. We want good things. None of us really wants a cross. None of us really believes that the Son of God should have to die. But when we face these things and actually take up our cross as Jesus suggests and walk with the one that was crucified, as if he was risen, we discover that not only are the written words of the Scripture true, we also discover that they lead to great goodness. Abraham hoped against hope and became the father of nations. Jesus believed that God would use him even in death, and he became the way, the truth, and the life. There is no easy way out of what life demands of us. There is no avoiding the words of Jesus. Those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the gospel will save it. But there's a dream. And there's a promise. Thanks be to God.